good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word. And we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've had an awesome week. Well, this has been a week since Pentecost Sunday already. A week since the full outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I hope you had an awesome Pentecost day. And I hope that you've had time to reflect on everything that happened that day and why it happened and how it happened and what it means to us. And it's such an important thing for us to think about today, because we're charged with preaching the gospel in this time that we live in. And as I tell all the groups I teach, we should be proud and honored that God put us here in the world at this time and in the place that we are at, as Paul points out in Acts 17. We're here for this time. The book of Esther says we're here for such a time as this. And it's important that we understand that it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do the things that we are here to do, that we are part of the plan that he has in this time that we live in. Today, though, we're going to talk about an interesting thing that happens immediately after Pentecost, and it's described in Acts chapter 3, and it involves Peter and John, who, of course, were in the upper room. Peter did his awesome sermon after the outpouring of the Spirit, and 3,000 people were added to the church. But in this story that's in Acts chapter 3, and it's right at the beginning, and you, I'm sure, all know it, it's about Peter and John healing a lame man who sat every day begging in the same place at the times when people were going to the temple. So everybody saw him there, and a great miracle takes place there to witness to their preaching of the gospel. All through the book of Acts, it talks about how their preaching was accompanied by signs and wonders. People went out of their way to go to Peter and to Paul and to all of them, presumably, because everywhere they went, every place they went to spread the gospel, signs and wonders followed them. And in some places, people thought that they were gods, because they said only gods could do what they were doing. And of course, when you preach with signs and wonders, it really brings attention to the message that you're preaching. And in Acts chapter 3, we have this account where, we're going to start right in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. So this is an awesome account. Peter and John are going up to the temple. They always went up to the temple, just like the Bible always says. They went up to Jerusalem because Jerusalem is at a higher spot. The Temple Mount is the highest spot in the city. So you go up to the temple. And the apostles were always there. Acts tells us, and even in chapter 1, chapter 2, and all these earlier chapters, that they were always in the temple every day teaching. And then they would go to people's homes, and they would say the prayers, sing the songs, and break the bread. Because, of course, at this time, the only churches that existed were house churches. So Peter and John were going up to the temple to do this because this is what they did every day, according to the word. But we get the particulars of this whole incident that happens. They're going up. It's called the time of prayer at the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. The times of prayers were generally 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. And the beggar is described here, he's lame from the time of his birth. So this man had never walked in his whole life. We don't know how old he was at this point, but one thing the scripture clearly tells us is he was paralyzed from birth. He had never walked. And it says people took him and laid him by the gate Beautiful, which nobody really knows where that was, by the way. But anyway, they carried him and laid him in a place where people going to the temple would walk right by him. So this was kind of a strategic place for him to sit. It was a perfect place for him to beg, because as people were going to the temple to pray and offer sacrifices, they would probably be more moved to give this guy some money, to give this guy a donation, so to speak, to help this poor guy live. He was in a strategic spot for that. So he sat there all day begging. And over the course of the day, large numbers of people would walk by, especially at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. And of course, in those days, poor people, widows, sick people, depended on charity. There were no government programs to help disabled people. You either were helped by your family, and again, we say we don't know how old this man was. You either helped by your family or you had to beg. And this is why when you study the Torah, the books of Moses, you see how God is concerned with widows and orphans. And a lot of those books are devoted to widows and orphans have to be taken care of, not by whatever the government was, but by people. And widows and orphans are a big thing because, of course, women did not work outside of the home. So if you were widowed and you had some children, you were not a viable economic unit. So you were either helped by your family or the generosity of the community where you lived. And the law of God given to Moses, which allowed you to get food out of farm fields and so forth. I'm not going to go into all that now, but the gleaning, where we even have that word in our language. So this man comes there, and every day he's begging. Now Peter and John approach him, both of them. It's interesting that Peter was the oldest apostle, John was the youngest, but after Pentecost, they spent a lot of time together. Even resurrection morning, they spent a lot of time together because, if you recall, they both ran to the tomb, and Peter went into the tomb. It says, and then they believed. They spent a lot of time together, and the other interesting thing about them is they each had a brother who was also an apostle. So I'm not sure what the eternal meaning of that is, but it's kind of interesting. So they see this guy, and it says in the account that they fixed their eyes on him. The Greek word that's used there, the Greek sentence, that the Greek grammar that's used there, is the same word as what's used in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus does his famous teaching in the synagogue at Nazareth. And when he was done speaking, it says everyone's eyes were fixed on him. This is a very intent look. It wasn't a casual look. It was an intent look. At the synagogue, they were waiting to see what he was going to say about what he had just read. Here, they're looking at this man because, of course, they probably have a word of knowledge that something is going to happen. Their attention's fixed on this guy. That word's also used in Luke's gospel when the servant girl in the courtyard of the temple is looking at Peter and he begins his denial. She's looking intently at him, studying him. And this is also used in the account of the ascension in Acts chapter 1. The Greek words used is they're looking into the clouds. They're staring intently into the clouds. And so it's an interesting word, and it doesn't mean you just see something. You stare at it intently. So he points out here that Peter and John say to him, hey, I know you're looking for money, but we don't have any money. You know, he's looking at, the beggar's looking at them thinking, oh good, these guys are looking at me intently. They're going to give me some money. Peter points out they don't have any money. So they probably had not heard the prosperity gospel yet. No, just kidding. But they didn't have any money. But they knew, they were realizing now, after Pentecost morning, that they had powerful spiritual gifts. They said, we don't have money, but we have something that we're going to give you. And it's going to be way more important than money. So the man was asking them for money, but what he didn't realize is he was going to get a lot more than money. And of course, this happens to us too. We think we're going to get something, we're asking for something, and then we get something much more powerful that maybe at that moment or maybe later on or maybe not till we get to heaven are we going to realize why that happened and why it happened in the way that it did. So this man and other people have seen this. You've probably seen this. I have seen this in my experience. This man gets a physical and a spiritual gift. He gets a physical cure and a spiritual cure. And then Peter says, we're doing this in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This is the name that Jesus was known by. Normally in this ancient world, you were known as so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. So Jesus would have been known as Jesus, son of Joseph, as kind of the normal way to know somebody. But you could also be known by where you were from. And he was commonly called Jesus of Nazareth. This actually even has its roots in the book of Isaiah with the small branch coming from the stump of Jesse. But you can go to the website, www.giftofgraceministries, Gift of Grace Ministries, and you can find some radio shows and some teachings on that. But we're not going to go into that now. But he's known as Jesus of Nazareth, because Peter wants to make it clear who we're talking about here. Now, we don't know if this man had heard about Jesus. We don't know if he had even seen him. If he was in the same place at the temple every day, it's possible he might have seen him. But Peter connects now the earthly Jesus with the glorified Jesus. And maybe in his mind he's thinking about during the Last Supper in John chapter 14, which he didn't know was John chapter 14, where Jesus said, you're going to do greater works than I've done. We don't know if that might have been going through his mind, but now he understands that he has power because of what the Holy Spirit did. and because Jesus had been glorified. So he says this to the man before he says, stand up and walk. He tells them that this is coming from Jesus of Nazareth, so that the man knows where his healing is coming from, and he knows that Peter and John are not personally responsible for his being healed. The healing is coming from God himself in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And Peter points this out to the man before the man actually gets the healing. You know, Jesus would stop and heal somebody, or he would be moved in some situation where he interacted with somebody and he would heal them. Now, they were going to start to heal people in his name. So he tells them, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. So, as you see here, this man, this beggar, this man who's paralyzed from birth, imagine even if he's 30 years old, he spent 30 years sitting, never walked. All of a sudden, he's completely healed. He's leaping, he's walking, he's praising. So he got physical strength and he got spiritual strength. And he's thankful. He understands inside of himself where this healing came from. He knows, because of what Peter said, that it wasn't Peter who healed him. And so he's praising God. He's thankful. You can imagine, you've never walked in your life, and all of a sudden your legs are strong, your ankles are strong. He's probably dancing around the courtyard. He's dancing into the temple. It says he followed them into the temple. So you can kind of picture this Peter and John walking into the temple, and this guy's probably walking right behind him, right beside him, kind of dancing around and praising God. And so everyone marveled, because there were many, many witnesses there. There were many, many people walking by at that moment to go to the hour of prayer. There were many, many people there who were used to seeing this guy every single day. There may also have been many people there who were used to seeing Peter and John. Maybe they had seen them with Jesus at the times that he came to the temple. So there were many witnesses. It wasn't just Peter and John who saw this happen, or this man wasn't secretly healed in private in a house church or with a group of believers. Everyone knew who this guy was. Everybody knew what his problems were. And now they saw a total transformation. Not only the fact that he was jumping and dancing and praising, like I should say, not only the fact that he was not walking, but he was jumping and dancing and praising, because now he's been transformed physically and spiritually. And the other powerful thing that I think is in this text is that when Peter says, get up and walk, Peter puts his hand out to help him up. Peter knows that when he says, get up and walk, this man is actually going to stand up and walk. So he puts his hand out and says, stand up. So Peter is asking this man to do what the man cannot do. He has been paralyzed all his life. Any number of people at any stage of this man's life could have walked by him and said, stand up and walk, and the guy would have just sadly looked away or said, like, so why are you saying that to me? You know, I can't walk. Peter's to stand up and walk, and he puts his hand out because he knows within himself that this is actually going to take place, that this healing is actually going to take place. And he helps him up, but then he's completely healed physically and spiritually. So he gets physical strength. He gets spiritual strength. He's thankful. He knows where his healing came from. He doesn't thank Peter and John. He doesn't say, hey, thanks, you guys. This is great. I wish I had met you guys earlier. No. He knows his healing came from God. And so he's praising, thanking God, and going into the temple along with them. So this is an awesome, total transformation. So what happens next? All the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the gate beautiful of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Well, you can imagine, how could this be? We see this guy here every day, twice a day. We've seen this guy here for years. This is the same guy who's now walking and praising and dancing around. So they're filled with wonder and amazing. These are signs and wonders. Now, as the lame man who was healed, this is verse 11. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So now the people run up to Peter and John because they're amazed at what has happened. This gets people's attention. It kind of reminds me of the gospel passage where Jesus is in the house. It's thought to be Peter's house, although we don't know for sure. And the two people try to bring a paralyzed man there, and they can't get him in, so they lower him in through the roof. You know this story. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And, of course, the Pharisees are there, and they start mumbling. Nobody can forgive sins but God. Who do you think you are? And then Jesus says, just so you know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sin, stand up and walk. And so when he did, no one could say anything anymore. Because your sins are forgiven was confirmed and amplified by the get up and walk. So they realized Jesus had done both things. So when the gospel's preached and then this happens, or when this happens and then the gospel's preached, it's very powerful. So here the people came to Peter and John. They ran to them. They were always preaching it. You know, you see through the book of Acts, the beginning of the book of Acts, that they're teaching in Solomon's portico. And they went there that day with the guy that was healed. And so people came to see them there. So verse 12, so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And so now Peter starts to preach because the people there are now receptive because they've seen this great miracle. So they come to Solomon's porch, Solomon's portico. Now, presumably, they want to know more about this Jesus. We don't have time to, time's ticking away. We don't have time to go any further in the passage. But Peter takes this opportunity to preach about Jesus. He doesn't preach, hey, you know, John and I, you know, hey, you know, we do this kind of thing all the time. The rest of us do too. You know, if you ever want to hang around with us, or you want to come to one of our churches, that'd be great. Or you want to meet us out here. No, he doesn't talk about himself. He doesn't talk about the apostles. He takes this opportunity to talk about Jesus. He says, don't marvel at us. It wasn't us who did this. And then he tells them who Jesus is. And he says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did this. Jewish people will understand that. This is how God identifies himself. Oh, I know the music's been playing. Well, thanks for tuning in, and join us again next week on The Gift of Grace, where we'll read and teach God's word, and we'll proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week.